Coming up on today's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, you'll hear from both offensive coordinator Mick Lombardi and defensive coordinator Patrick Graham. They both met with the media on Tuesday, so you'll hear from them. Plus, we'll continue to talk about running back Josh Jacobs and his future with the Silver and Black. Your calls and texts will close out the show. It's all coming up on today's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, Wednesday, November 23rd, 2022.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Just Raiders. Win. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Just win. Your team Just every win. Day.
Just win.
You're a win as a raider. Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
And welcome in, Raider Nation, to another edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Thank you so much for making the show your first listen each and every day. Remember, you can find the Locked On Raider podcast free and available on all platforms. And definitely appreciate everyone who reaches out and, you know, gives us a few little bit of the feedback on YouTube and what they see that they like, what they see that they don't like. My man Ari, who's in the background making everything go, at Ari Produces on Twitter, is doing a fantastic job. So again, appreciate everyone who's subscribed to the YouTube page and gives it a look. Even if it's only for a couple seconds, just check it out. And like I said, feedback is always welcome. Today's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNFL. We'll tell you a lot more about them later on in the show. But first of all, let's go ahead and get right into it. Raiders coordinators, both Mick Lombardi and Patrick Graham, met with the media on Tuesday. They do that every single Tuesday later on today. Matter of fact, around noon, head coach Josh McDaniels will talk to the media again. So we'll meet with him at the Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center. But first, have to get into what the coordinators had to say from Tuesday. So let's start things off with Mick Lombardi, the offensive coordinator, talking about going up tempo. And that's something that I've talked about quite a bit on the show. And when I say up tempo, I don't mean, you know, Arizona Cardinals, Cliff Kingsbury style offense where you just go, 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 Big 12 action or old Chip Kelly action. I'm just talking about going with a sense of urgency. Here's Mick Lombardi talking about going up tempo, something that the Raiders did at the end of that Denver Bronco game and how they've been able to do that.
Sure. Yeah. We always go into each week and say, you know, what advantage does that give us? What doesn't it give us? Is this a environment we want to try and do this in? Obviously, in the first game against Denver, we did a little more up-tempo stuff. And, you know, obviously you saw we practice and do a good job in the 2 minute and preparing and making sure that we're prepared for that scenario and going up-tempo and making sure we can execute the plays in that situation. So credit to the players. They took the plan and did a very good job of executing that stuff at a high tempo and getting the ball down the field at the end of regulation. But yes, that's something we can always take into consideration every week and allow the players to go out there and execute plays at a quicker tempo.
So there's offensive coordinator Mick Lombardi talking about going a little up tempo and really crediting the players for being able to do that. And that's something I've asked Coach McDaniels about, because again, I think it's something that Derek Carr does really well. And I think that it's something that could really help switch up the pace and not allow a defense to get comfortable. And so the times that they've done it, and multiple times they've done it now against the Denver Broncos, it's worked. So it's a good thing to have, not something to do all the time, but it's something, like I said, to switch things up. I think it's really good. Next up, here's Coach Lombardi talking about wins and how much they validate the process. And of course, the process is something that players don't want to hear about. The process is something that fans in particular really don't want to hear about. I remember Matt Rhule, when he was at Baylor, used to talk about the process, the process, the process. And fans would get so angry. I'm tired of hearing about the process. I just want to hear about wins. Well, the Raiders picked up a win on Sunday against the Broncos. So how much does a win like that, a sweep of the Broncos, how much does that validate the process that these coaches are trying to go through with this team?
Yeah, you know, obviously a win on the road in the NFL is never easy, especially against a really good opponent like Denver. Division opponent that we played already. You know, we played them, so this is the first time our team that with us has been able to play a division opponent again. So what does that mean? We go into the game saying, you know, how are they going to adjust? How are we going to adjust? So some new challenges that come into play there, and it's on the road with crowd noise and a hostile environment. And, you know, credit to the guys for executing towards the end of the game and throughout the game. But, yeah, coming through at the end of the game, you know, it obviously meant a lot to not only the players but just to everybody, you know, seeing that their hard work paying off and making sure that, you know, they can celebrate the fruits of their labor.
Again, nobody wants to hear about the process, but that's what it is. That's what it is with every coaching staff. That's what it is when it comes to something new and they're trying to build something, not only just for 1 year, but sustain longevity as far as a success. And so it just is what it is. Again, nobody likes to hear the word process, but that's what it is. Speaking of process, how about defensive coordinator Patrick Graham? He was asked the same question. How much does a win validate the process defensively?
Most important thing, and you know, this league is week to week, is just you get that win
it's a chance and an opportunity for the guys to see the reward for their hard work. And, you know, nothing, you know, solidifies that in terms of trusting the process than wins. And I was just so happy for the players to get a W on the road against a division opponent, against a tough team, you know, whether it's the dealing with the quarterback, dealing with their defense, dealing with the running game. I mean, I was just happy for those guys to get a win. And I'm sure you have to talk to the players individually what it means for them in terms of the process. But anytime you could get a win on the road in the division, it's a positive, and we could build off of that.
Patrick Graham right there talking about, you know, the process, and the most important thing is win. And that's what it is. It's about winning. It's about winning. It's about winning. Those players in the locker room, they have to see the win. They have to see what they're doing and what they're being coached to do and what they're practicing each and every day is going to lead up to wins. And they got that win on Sunday. Is it enough wins? Of course not. That's not where anyone wanted the Raiders to be at this point, including the guys in the locker room, especially the guys in the locker room. But it is what it is at this point. They got seven more games to do, you know, whatever they want to do. They just got to go into each and every game, and they got to put their best foot forward. There's not a game on the schedule they can't beat or they can't win, but none of them are going to be easy because, well, it's the NFL, and no wins are easy in the NFL. So here's Patrick Graham talking about Jerry Tillery. He was a guy that I mentioned on Friday's show that I wanted to see what he was going to bring to the table. He got picked up just recently off of waivers from the Chargers. So can he provide a little something on that Raiders defensive line? Kind of talked about him a little bit on Monday's show as well. Here's what Patrick Graham thought about Jerry Tillery, what his presence and impact he made on Sunday.
I think just Jerry, you know, when he walks in the room, he has a presence because he's 6'5", you know, big man. And I think you have to talk to Bilal, but just watching the tape, you know, Jerry, he came in and he did some things for us, some positives. And, you know, right now he's working hard to learn the defense and see where he fits in terms of helping us. But, you know, anytime you get an infusion of a good player, it's a positive. And, you know, he did some positive things out there and still some stuff to learn, and we're working with that. And I'm sure he's in the building talking to Frank right now. But, I mean, again, when you get the win, it seems like it was positive. So
there's defensive coordinator Patrick Graham talking about Jerry Tillery, big man, didn't do a whole lot on a Sunday, had one tackle. I think he played like 20-something snaps or whatever, and that's fine. You know he's going to still learn the defense. He's going to be learning what he's expected to do, so don't expect him to have a huge impact right away. But we'd like to see if he could be something that the Raiders could build on along that defensive line. Again, he has 10.5 career sacks, so that's better than what the Raiders have going for them right now at the interior of the defensive line. Is he the end-all, be-all? Is he the answer to all their interior defensive line issues? No, but he might be able to be part of a rotation moving forward. One more soundbite from defensive coordinator Patrick Graham, and it's one guy who is an impact player, Max Crosby. Here's what Patrick Graham has to say about Mad Max Crosby.
I've been very fortunate in my career to coach some really good players, and Max is different for a number of reasons, but again, I've had the great opportunity to coach a lot of good players, you know, guys that you might not even stick out to you in terms of I've seen them dominate games from the nose tackle position. You know, and got a chance to coach them, you know, like guys, you know, like whether it's Snacks Harrison or you talk about Vince Wilfork. I've seen Vince dominate a game from the nose tackle position. I've seen Snacks do the same thing. And then, you know, JPP, you know, I had the opportunity to be around him. Great player. You know, so again, Max is unique in his own way, and, you know, his motor in terms of how relentless he is and that really comes down to his conditioning. His knack to, you know, again, get your hand on the ball, you know, whether it's the forced fumble, the blocked field goal, you know, the sacks. I mean, he's a great player to be around.
So there's Patrick Graham talking about Max Crosby and everything he brings to the table. And, of course, that energy, that excitement, that go to every single play, continue to run, and just, I mean, everything. What he did on Sunday is incredible. Right? I mean, just to be able to be all over the field, stopping the run, causing a fumble, getting to the quarterback, getting some sacks, blocking a field goal. I mean, the dude was just everywhere. So you got to give Max Crosby tons of credit. So there you go. Those are the sound bites that I wanted you to hear from both Mick Lombardi and Patrick Graham, offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator from Tuesday. But speaking of Max Crosby, on Tuesday it was announced that he is the Art Rooney Sportsmanship Award nominee for the Silver and Black. There's a representative for every team in the NFL. Max Crosby is the representative for the Raiders. The award is presented each year to an NFL player who best demonstrates the qualities of on-field sportsmanship, including fair play, respect for the game and opponents, performance and integrity in competition. So the last time that the Raiders had Art Rooney Sportsmanship Award winner, it was Charles Woodson back in 2015 with the Oakland Raiders. So Max Crosby, just to have his name involved in the award like that, I think is pretty cool. Nice little tip of the cap. He's getting that national love. The winner will be announced as part of NFL Honors. They'll receive a $25,000 donation from the NFL Foundation to a charity of his choice. So again, really cool. That all happens right before the Super Bowl. And speaking of right before the Super Bowl, how about Eric Allen, nominated as a semifinalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame for the third time? And I don't know if EA is going to get in. I would love for him to get into the Hall of Fame. He's one, he's my friend. Two, he's a really good guy. He was a hell of a player, I think, and obviously did a lot of work in the league with the Eagles and also did a lot of heavy lifting with the Silver and Black. But this is just the accolades that Eric Allen has. First team All-Pro one time, two times second team All-Pro, six-time Pro Bowler, All-Rookie Team, Eagles 75th Anniversary Team, Eagles Hall of Fame, NFL record for most interceptions returned for touchdowns in a season with four. He tied with Ken Houston and Jim Kearney. 54 career interceptions, 9 defensive touchdowns, 789 tackles, 3 sacks, 6 forced fumbles, and 7 fumble recoveries. That is the resume of one Eric Allen. I don't know if that gets you into the Hall of Fame. Again, he's a semifinalist. This is the third time he's been nominated as a semifinalist. The one thing I learned about on Tuesday when he was nominated, that was actually his birthday. So that's a pretty cool little birthday gift, right? You get a year older, and all of a sudden you get nominated for the Pro Football Hall of Fame as a semifinalist. So the 28 semifinalists will be reduced again to 15 finalists before the final voting process for the class of 2023, which also will be announced right before the Super Bowl. So I thought that that was a nice little tip of the cap again to one Eric Allen, who is a really, really good dude. Final nugget I have for you for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast, news and notes of the day. We recorded the Raiders roundtable. Myself, JT the Brick, and Jason Horowitz sat in for Lincoln Kennedy on Tuesday. So that's out right now if you want to check it out as well. Raiders roundtable, we do it each and every Tuesday at the Raiders facility, the Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center. Pretty cool. It's on the Raiders YouTube page. You can also get it in audio file. But if you want to give it a look, go ahead, check it out. It's a lot of fun to record that. It's about 30 minutes talking with Jason Horowitz, talking about the game, the Denver Broncos game, and in the upcoming game against the Seattle Seahawks. So that's all I got for you for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Coming up in segment number two, going to continue to talk about Josh Jacobs. I know we talked about Josh Jacobs quite a bit. You heard from Luke Robinson, host of Locked On Bama, on Tuesday's show. Well, I want to go deeper dive into Josh Jacobs and talk about the future of Josh and what I think he's earned with the Silver and Black. Before I get to that, though, I do want to let you know that this show is sponsored by BetterHelp Therapy Online. And unfortunately, life doesn't come with a user manual. So when it's not working for you, it's normal to feel stuck. And when you feel stuck, what do? Sometimes you phone a friend. Sometimes you don't phone a friend. Sometimes you try to figure it out on your own. Sometimes it's difficult to figure it out on your own. Sometimes you can't figure it out on your phone. Well, on your own. Therapists are trained to help you figure out the cause of challenging emotions and learn productive coping skills, which makes therapy the closest thing to a guided tour of the complex engine that is you. And it's so funny when people hear therapists, sometimes they want to shy away, but I'll tell you what, sometimes a therapist is the greatest listener. And sometimes that's all you need to make everything a little bit better is to have that greatest listener. BetterHelp has connected over 3 million people with licensed therapists. It's convenient, secure, and accessible anywhere, 100% online. Everyone deserves to feel their best, right? BetterHelp makes it easier to get started. As the world's largest therapy service, they've matched millions of people with professionally licensed and vetted therapists available 100% online. All the benefits of in-person therapy, it's more convenient, more accessible, and more affordable. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to match with a therapist. If things aren't clicking, no problem. You can easily switch to a new therapist anytime. It can't be any simpler. No waiting rooms, no traffic, no endless search for the right therapist. Get unstuck right now with BetterHelp. Learn more and save 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/LockedOnNFL. That's BetterHelp.com/LockedOnNFL.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we go. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Want to jump into a conversation about Josh Jacobs. He's a guy that you heard a conversation, a nice interview I had on my radio show on Monday on Raider Nation Radio 920, Unnecessary Roughness, with Luke Robinson, host of Locked On Bama, just breaking all things down Josh Jacobs. I want to continue to deep dive into Josh Jacobs and what he brings to the table. And really, I talked about it a lot. I think I've been talking about Josh Jacobs all week long, talked about him on my radio show on Tuesday as well. And I threw out the question there, you know, what do you think that the Raiders should do with Josh Jacobs moving forward. He's a guy who got his fifth-year option declined by the new staff, Dave Ziegler, Champ Kelly, Josh McDaniels and company, and all he's done is put up monster numbers, right? Through 10 games, has 930 rushing yards, has 7 touchdowns, has over 250 passing yards or receiving yards. I mean, the dude has just been balling out of control, putting up career numbers. And I know that players do this in contract years. When they know that it's a contract year, they give you everything they got because they want to get the bag. And I've said it so many times that the problem is Josh Jacobs might be actually playing his way out of Las Vegas because he's playing so well. But I'd like to think that this staff realizes who Josh Jacobs is, not only from a player standpoint, but from a leader standpoint, right? And how important he is to the locker room, to the culture in that locker room. And you see what they were doing. They locked up all their guys that were key building blocks. And I know he's a running back, and I know running backs have been devalued in the league, and I hate that. But the key guys, Max Crosby, locked him up. Hunter Renfro, locked him up. Darren Waller, locked him up. And, you know, obviously there hasn't been a good return on those two guys. Derek Carr, locked him up. Now they have decisions that they can make right after the Super Bowl. Do they decide to continue to have Derek Carr locked up or move on from him? That's a decision that they have to make, but they locked him up. Right? Chandler Jones, they brought him in as a free agent. Obviously, that return on investment has not been good. But they brought him in and gave him some big money to do what he does. Josh Jacobs is in a contract year. I get it. But, man, this dude has just done everything. I gave him a lot of credit on Monday for not being that guy that just, you know, decide I want to take my ball and go home and complain about the fact that they brought in so many other running backs. You know, it's so funny. I've had this conversation in the Raiders media room with multiple beat writers saying, can another running back do what Josh Jacobs is doing right now? And I remember one of the answers was, yeah, he could. Like, Zamir White could do exactly what Josh Jacobs is doing. But you know what? I'll argue with you and say, no, Zamir White cannot do that right now. Zamir White might end up being a really good running back when it's all said and done. I think he will be. He comes from a great pedigree, a great program at Georgia. But he's not Josh Jacobs, and he hasn't had an opportunity to get on the field and even show what he can do because Josh Jacobs has been so stingy with coming off the field in a good way. Right? Zamir White has had, what, 8 carries on the season? And that's it? Derek Carr has 15 carries for 67 yards, and those aren't because he designed to run. That's just because he started to run. But he's the second leading rusher on the team. So I wanted you to hear a couple sound bites. And it's funny, the reason I wanted to really dedicate a segment to Josh Jacobs is because I think that this new staff might be having a change of heart, or maybe they ought to have a change of heart. They declined his fifth-year option, not meaning that they don't like him or didn't want him, meaning that they didn't know what he was going to bring to the table and if he was going to be worth it. Now, through 10 games, I think they realize he's worth it. Here's head coach Josh McDaniels. I know this was on the show yesterday, but here's head coach Josh McDaniels on Monday talking about Josh Jacobs and how valuable he's going to be down the stretch, and also his thoughts on him just moving forward as a player.
He's very valuable. He's a really, really good player in every aspect. I have said this before, but to me, one of the most impressive things about him is he never asks to come out of the game. And I've coached for a while, and you know, that's a tough position to play and never come out, you know, because you're getting hit a lot and you get banged around and guys are falling on you and, you know, all the rest of it. And he's got this incredible football endurance about him, and he runs in there. He takes a bunch of hits. He doesn't even look to the sideline. And it took me a few weeks to get used to that, because, you know, you're normally thinking, like, you know, you're going to be subbing backs, you know, quite honestly, pretty regularly. And I'm used to that from my recent past where we used a lot of different backs. But this guy just gives you such a high level of confidence in him and never appears to be winded or tired. And honestly, I think it's better as the game goes on. You know, so we're really fortunate to have this guy. He's a really good football player.
So there was Josh McDaniels. And again, you hear him talking about, you know, where he comes from, which obviously is New England. Their approach has always been running back by committee. I couldn't tell you how many people hit me up, even on the podcast, and said, oh, you said that they were going to be doing running back by committee. You were wrong. No, I wasn't wrong. That's what they were going to do. But Josh Jacobs made them change their idea. And you know what? Sometimes that's okay. Sometimes it's okay to say, this is our plan, but you know what? Because of this, our plan has changed, and it's changed for the better. And that's the thing about it. The best plan is the plan that can be changed. Okay, they were going to do running back by committee. Then they realized, you know what? Josh Jacobs is the dude. Let's just keep feeding him. Now, this can go one of two ways, and we discussed this on the radio on Tuesday as well. This could end up being a situation like the Cowboys did in Dallas when they had DeMarco Murray, and they ran him, and he had a hell of a year, and they just ran the hell out of him and then let him leave in free agency, and he went and signed a big contract with Philadelphia, and he obviously that wasn't the right scheme for him, but they gave him a big deal, so he went, and he wasn't very good there. They traded him to Tennessee, and he was just okay. But his better years were in Dallas, and they really just kind of used him up, and then shoved him on down the road. I don't think that this new staff is going to do that. I feel like that they have too much respect for him. And when I say they have too much respect for him, then to just do him like that. Here's offensive coordinator Mick Lombardi. He talked about Josh Jacobs and what his thoughts were on him. He spoke on him on Tuesday, and I thought it was pretty cool what he said, especially about the conversation between him and his wife. Check it out.
Oh, man, Josh Jacobs. You know, it's just funny. I was actually talking to my wife about this on Sunday night. She's because obviously as a football wife, she has her critiques as well at post game. But Josh has really grown into one of my favorite players on the team, not because, you know, obviously because the person he is and all that kind of thing, but just because you can see that he exudes the love of football. You know, he's a football playing, just old school, wants to get the ball downhill and wants the ball. You know, you give him a new thing and he takes full advantage of it and just wants to go and go and go and go and go and is all ball and is very smart, can take coaching, wants to be Coach Hart. Coach Kennedy is on him nonstop on the sidelines at practice about anything, whether it's ball security, run reads, whatever it is. And, you know, I think he's done a great job of taking the coaching and, you know, just his ability to kind of just want to get better and continue to play and take everything and whatever his role is, it's been really really fun to watch him grow in this offense. So Josh is really, like all those running backs, I mean, gosh dang, you know, Brandon Bolden, Amir Abdullah, I mean, Zamir White, and Britton Brown, those guys work really hard, and they're really a tight-knit group, and it's really fun to watch them work.
So there's offensive coordinator Mick Lombardi from Tuesday talking about Josh Jacobs and, you know, how that's just becoming one of his favorite players. Right. And so, again, it's going back to the respect level, what the guy brings to the table. I don't know what they're going to do. You know, I said that there's no way that they were going to franchise tag him. But I also have said that I have no problem being wrong. Right. I think that they declined that option. So that's why I said there's no way that they'd franchise him. But maybe they look at it and say, hey, we do need to keep this guy around for a little while. And if they can't get a deal, if Josh decides, hey, I want the big bag, they don't want to give me the big bag, their offer is not, you know, big enough, they might just slap that franchise tag on him. Again, that would be more than the fifth year option would have been. But again, they didn't know that Josh Jacobs was going to put in this kind of season. So I see the way that they're rewarding players that they feel like are building blocks, guys that can, you know, be around for the long haul. And I know everyone says, oh, they're going to do it Patriot-like, and that's not Patriot-like. There's a lot of things that Dave Ziegler has done as the GM of the Raiders that is unpatriot-like, right? I mean, it really is. They have rewarded homegrown players where a lot of the times the Patriots don't reward homegrown players. They made a trade for Devontae Adams. They gave a first-round pick and a second-round pick. The Patriots don't make that move, right? And so there's Dave Ziegler is his own guy. Does he come from New England? Sure. Josh McDaniels? Sure. But they also have their own thumbprint, and they're trying to make their own identity that has nothing to do with the Patriots. So just because the Patriots don't do that, and because they traded Chandler Jones a year early, then, or actually a few years early, they traded him to Arizona when they didn't want to pay him, and they've done that with multiple players, does not mean that that's what they're going to do when it comes to Josh Jacobs. Again, they've rewarded multiple players already. They just haven't seen the reward. They haven't, you know, got the return on investment like they have with Max Crosby. They didn't get that in Darren Waller yet. They haven't got that with Hunter Renfrow yet, and that's disappointing. We'll see what happens moving forward, but I don't think that they're going to hesitate to reward the players that need to be rewarded, and I think Josh Jacobs is that guy. I think at the very minimum, they should try to give him a two-year deal, lock him up for 2 years. I don't know if Josh would be willing to take that. He probably wants a four-year deal with some big-time guaranteed money, but worst-case scenario, I think he's earned the franchise tag. I think he's earned the right to stay in Las Vegas, and I think it would be silly to let him go. I know Zamir White's there. I get it. I know Britton Brown is there. I get it. Brandon Bolden, I know they like him, but he can't even get on the field. Amir Abdullah's barely got onto the field, right? I mean, and Zamir White, he's barely got onto the field. All because what Josh Jacobs has been able to do through 10 games. He's got 930 yards rushing. What kind of monster season is he going to end up with is going to be the really good question. But that's what I got for you for segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Just wanted to go ahead and talk and maybe even brag a little bit more about one Josh Jacobs because, again, I think he's done a hell of a job this year. Knowing his fifth-year option got declined, could have pouted, could have acted a fool, could have said trade me. Instead, just busted his tail off and showed and proved that he deserves and wants to be a member of the Raiders. Coming up, segment number three, your calls and texts. You're off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Before I get to that, though, I do want to tell you about the title sponsor, which is LinkedIn Jobs. And these days, every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates available. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps find the right people for your team faster and for free. All you got to do is create a free job post on LinkedIn Jobs, add your job and the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you like to interview and who you like to hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. Right now, LinkedIn Jobs will help you find the qualified candidate you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNFL. That's LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNFL to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Let's start things off with a call from Keith. He's a new booty caller. He was calling to talk about Raider Jim's call from the Pacific Northwest about not going to the game on Sunday versus Seahawks and shares his story on what he's going to be doing this upcoming Sunday. Here he is, Keith.
Hi, my name is Keith, and dude, I've been a long fan of yours for many years. This is the first time I ever called, and I guess I'm a new booty. But anyways, I just want to say thank you for all that you do, because you are the shiznitty of shizniddles, dude. You are so good. Anyways, Raider Jim, I wanted to call you before I even heard that, but I heard his message. I don't even live in Seattle, but I do live in Washington. I am going to drive over the pass for 5 hours through the snow, and I'm going to go to that game. And I'm still going to go to the game. I didn't know if I wanted to go or if I didn't want to go. But, you know, I had never seen the Raiders play. The only time I've ever seen a game was in Ohio at the old Cleveland Browns stadium. I traveled the country like 13 years. I'm going to watch that game. I'm going to be behind the sidelines. And I'm going to love every minute of it, even if they do lose. Even if they do get their butt kicked, I'm still going to love it. Anyways, I just want to say that, man, go Raiders.
Keith, thank you so much for the call, my man. Thanks for being a new booty. I appreciate your kind words. And go to the game. Enjoy the game. Live it up. And the next game you come to, it's got to be in Vegas, right? The next game, if you're going to go to the game on the road, that's your first game, great. But you got to make a trip to Vegas and go to the game. Allegiant Stadium is awesome. I tell everyone who gets a chance to go soak it in, take a bunch of pictures, but have a good time. I know the Raiders' record isn't what it's supposed to be. I know it's going to be a little cold and maybe a little rainy there in Seattle, but, man, enjoy the game. It's a professional game. It's going to be a lot of fun, and you're getting to see your favorite team. So have a good time, and thank you so much for the call. I appreciate you. Thanks for being a loyal listener to the show. Up next, got a text from Raider Doc in Tampa Bay. It says, hey, Q, Raider Doc from Tampa Bay. Can you please look into and try to find out why Trayvon Merrick has taken a huge step back this year? Is it because his scheme does not fit him compared to last year's scheme where he was playing center field and he was on most plays? He was 30 yards deep from all the action, so he was never part of many plays. This year he's playing more close to action. I've seen him missing and whiffing on a lot of tackles, or sometimes I've seen him not really putting any effort to make the tackles. Seems like he's making a business decision and does not want to put his body in jeopardy. I know you're a big fan of him coming out of TCU, excuse me, and maybe you can look into this more detail, as I was looking forward to him to improve in his second year as he was one of the top safeties coming out in the draft. Thanks, QS Raider Doc from Tampa. And I don't know the details on why he's regressed, but he's clearly regressed. He has. And I was a big fan of his coming out of TCU. I still think he could be a heck of a player. He's just got to put it all together. I don't know if it's a scheme. I don't know if it was the hip injury that he suffered early in the season. And I don't know if he's not back from it, but he has missed on a lot of tackles. Looks like he's diving at a lot of feet instead of just getting in there and mixing it up. I'm not too sure, but he's got to show and prove that he can be a guy moving forward, because this new regime, this new staff is not going to just sit there and say, well, he's a former second round pick, so we've got to hold on to him. They didn't pick him. So if he's not cutting it, you know what they're going to do? They're going to let him go, just like they let other guys go. They let Alex Leatherwood go after one season, one training camp. He didn't even play a season with the Raiders. They moved on from him immediately. So if Trayvon Merrick don't put it together, he's going to be on the outside looking in. So I'm not too sure what the issue is. I think it's a combination of the scheme and also a combination of, you know, the hip injury, but I don't want to use that as an excuse. He's got to find a way to get it together. Thank you so much for that text. I do appreciate you. Next up, got a call from Bremerton Raider. He's calling to talk about the game Sunday and also speaks on running back Josh Jacobs. Here he is, Bremerton Raider.
What up, Q? It's Bremerton Raider calling out of Bremerton, Washington, but I'm originally from Stockton, California, new-time caller, and wanted to say that I love listening to your podcast each and every day. Also, even though the Raiders' record doesn't say too much, it looks like the team is building more of a connection and relationship with another, which this team needs. Not looking like we're going to make the playoffs, but hopefully we can finish the season strong. Would love to see Josh Jacobs back in the silver and black. Going to be at this weekend's game against Seattle. Hopefully we can get the dub. Continue what you're doing, Q. Raider Nation, stay up.
Thank you for the call, my man. And you too, similar to Keith, enjoy the game on Sunday. And as far as Josh Jacobs goes, I'm right there with you. I really want to see him back in 2023. As you could tell by segment number two of today's show, I think he's earned that. I think he deserves that. And I'm hoping that this new staff decides to bring him back, showing what he can really do. And he's obviously doing some really big things. But again, that's a decision that they're going to have to make. But it's good conversation, right? I mean, when you have a guy like that, do you really want to let a talent like that out of the locker room? I wouldn't want to let him walk. They've got some tough decisions. I think that he's really made that decision tough on him. I think that they were very comfortable with letting him run this year and then just go ahead and moving on from him after the season. And I think about halfway through the season, they realized, hold on, man, this dude's a little special. He's a little more special than we thought. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do. But hopefully, at the very least, they put a franchise tag on him and hold on to him. Thank you so much for that call. I do appreciate you. Next up is a text from Raider Rob in Southwest Florida. It says, Q, Raider Rob, Southwest Florida, it's time to move on from Derek Carr. I think they will opt out of his contract and perhaps try and sign Jimmy G and draft a quarterback in the first round of the draft. While Tom Brady seems like a viable option, as he and McDaniels have a history, in my opinion, he's on borrowed time. His physical skills are starting to deteriorate. That's from Raider Rob in Southwest Florida. And thank you for the text, my man. And I don't think that Jimmy G is an option. I don't think Tom Brady is an option. And honestly, I don't think that they move on from Derek Carr. I know that they have the option to do that with his contract right after the Super Bowl. I get it. But remember, man, the big elephant in the room is Devontae Adams. Devontae Adams is a Raider because of DC. I mean, that's simple. He wanted to play with Derek Carr. Yes, he wanted to play for the Raiders. That's his hometown team. That was his team growing up. I get it. But he also wanted to play with a quarterback that he's very familiar with and knows very well. That's Derek Carr. So I don't think that they move on from him. I think that those numbers that they're putting up, look what Devontae's done this season so far. He's already at 925 yards and 10 touchdowns. Still has 7 games left. This dude could end up putting up a monster season. You're going to move on from the quarterback and then have a new quarterback go in and try to learn the system? I just don't see it. I could be wrong. I've been wrong a million times. I'll be wrong a million more times. I just don't see it. I do believe that they draft a quarterback and let him sit behind DC, and once he's ready to take over, I could see that. I'm 100% on board with and believe it's going to happen. But just moving on from DC following the season, I don't think that it's going to happen. I really don't. But again, that's just me. So thank you so much for that call or that text. I do appreciate you. Got time for one more call. We'll take it from Raider Fat out of Oregon. It's like a calling card out of Oregon, right? Or in the Seattle area, the Washington area, Oregon. Anyone who's near the Seahawks, everyone's calling in. Here's Raider Fat out of Oregon. He's calling to talk about the game on Sunday and the fact he's going to his first Raider game. Here he is, Raider Fat out of Oregon.
Hey, Q. This is Raider Fett out of Oregon, and I'm just calling because I'm letting you know I'm going to be at the Raider game this weekend. Born in 2001, my very first Raider game, and I'm more than excited. Raider Nation for life, baby. And I just wanted to call to get your thoughts on this Seahawks team. Do you think we got a chance this week? You think this will be a good game? I don't know, man. I'm just nervous. First Raider game, and we're 3-7, so... If you could say anything to calm my nerves or let me know what's good, I'd really appreciate it, Q, and I really appreciate you and your show. I listen every day, and I will listen every day from the rest of my life, as long as you're doing it, brother. All right, I appreciate you, Q. Hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. God bless. And Raider Nation for life, baby.
Raider Fat, thanks for the call, my man. The kind words, I appreciate you. And again, similar to what I've been saying to everyone, enjoy your first game. Enjoy any game you go to, but enjoy your first game. You're going to a game in person. You're seeing your favorite team play. It's going to be a lot of fun. So soak that in and enjoy it. And that's a hell of a stadium as well to be in. So you should have a good time there. Secondly, as far as do the Raiders have a chance in this game? Sure. Yeah, there's not a team that they can't play with. I've said it a million times. I mean, they can go into Seattle and win the game. There's no doubt. Just like they could go into Kansas City and win that game. They just didn't, right? They can go on the road to L.A. and beat the Chargers. They just didn't. They can go to Tennessee and beat the Titans. They just didn't. Seattle, they could definitely beat. They just got to go out there, and they've got to handle their business. The Seahawks have a strong run game. They have a big play ability, and the Raiders have got to shut it down or at least slow it down, and they've got to click on all cylinders offensively. It's going to be a little cold, probably be a little rainy, make the conditions a little tough, but maybe it's a day where Josh Jacobs is a dominant force and Derek Carr and Davante Adams, that magic is cooking, right? I mean, the recipe to win is there for sure. They've just got to go handle it. So I would say that there's a very good chance you're going to go and see a Raider victory. I really will. That doesn't mean that I'm guaranteeing it and that, oh, yeah, hey, they're going to win this one. But, man, why not? Why not win this game? I definitely believe they can, especially if they cut down on the penalties. The penalties are what really kills them more times than not. So there you go. Again, enjoy the game, my man. Whatever the case may be, whatever the scenario, however it shakes out, just enjoy it, man, and just know that you're at your first Raider game, and that's your favorite team. So that's all I got time for on today's show. Definitely appreciate everyone who chimes in on the Locked On Raider podcast. Voicemail line 707-654-4693. Coming up on tomorrow's show, it'll be Thanksgiving. Everyone, hopefully they have a happy Thanksgiving, but it'll also be Crossover Thursday. Corbin Smith, host of Locked On Seahawks, will join the show. We'll talk all things this matchup, talk about how the Raiders could win the game, how Seattle could lose the game, or what Seattle has to do to win the game. We'll break all that stuff down. We'll talk about storylines. We'll talk about matchups, and we'll talk about game flow. We'll do that with Corbin Smith coming up on tomorrow's show. So until then, Raider Nation, take care of yourself. Take care of your family. Thanks so much for making the show your first listen each and every day. Remember, you can find the show free and available on all platforms, including on YouTube. Shout out to my man Ari at Ari Produces on Twitter, who's making it all go in the background. But as I mentioned before, Raider Nation, take care of your family. Love on your family. Enjoy your holidays with your family. And most importantly, as always, just win, baby.